Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
You know, I love the fact that you finally stumbled on the introduction, which you've said 7,000 times.
All right.
Like, what in the world?
Okay, so we're gonna because of a time constraint, we're going to get right into this. Episode 561 and 563, we've been talking about cultural issues that you need to be aware of. So listen back to that. And today, we're going to be talking about theological issues. So as we enter 2021, Ed, what are some theological issues that as church planters and pastors and multi-site pastors, we need to be aware of?
Well, I think ecclesiology has got to be first and foremost because our ecclesial, first of all, we came into COVID with a weak ecclesiology in most contexts. And so what happens is people, you know, and I would say unhelpfully said, you know, the church never closed. Well, we just moved online. No. It did close. It did. It's not the same. Online is not the same. Again, we've talked about this before. It's a temporarily deficient ecclesiology in the emergency for the sake of the mission. So I think ultimately we need to have, why do we think? Because right now, here's what we're going to have to do. Now we're starting to see the vaccine. And so, if people listen to the interview I did with Francis Collins, you know, we're talking by summertime. You know, he thought Easter would still be a challenge, but summertime, vacation, Bible school and camps, probably fall, depending on a couple of factors, we could be back to somewhat normal life. But here's the deal. You've got over a year now of people that we have, in many cases, basically said, you know, in some places are meeting, but there's some people who haven't been in a year.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a biblical reason to say to them, it's time to return. And this is a challenge because, you know, this past Sunday I preached and I said, there's twofold thing. I want you to hear that no one gets left behind. We're not mad at you right now if you're not here because you're concerned. Maybe your child's got asthma or someone's recovering with chemo or maybe you just don't feel comfortable being around crowds. But we need to help people to understand even now that I recognize this is probably the hottest point of the pandemic thus far, but you need to be teaching that part of what it means to be in a church is to be in physical community. It's not enough to do electrons and avatars. It requires feet and faces. So if that's the case, then I need to start teaching that. And partly, you know, even Sunday, I looked at the camera and I said, listen, no one gets left behind. We're all in this together. But right now we are gathering safely. We want to encourage you that when you're ready and you know, in line with your best, you know, discernment, we'd like to encourage you to come back because this is part of who we are. And that there's an ecclesiology that's there. You know, I've written about, and we'll put it in the show notes, about six marks of a church that should be true in every church, every time, every place. And one of those things is a covenant community. It's not enough just to see each other we don't even see each other unless you're on Zoom. And then you only see, you know, whatever, 16 blocks on a thing. We need to be back into community. You say, will it ever be risk-free? Well, to be fair, you know, Daniel, I don't want to be casual at all because we're in the midst of the greatest global crisis of our lifetime. 400,000 plus people dead. But we're never going to get to the place that going to church will be something that will never be a completely safe experience. The safest thing for you to do is to stay at home and don't do anything.
Yeah.
But the reality is there's a lived experience. And we know that in school, we know kids. I love what Dr. Fauci said, close the bars, open the schools. Come on, let's do that now. But part of the reality is because kids need schools. They need to be in that context. Can I just say too, and this is a key thing, is that Christians need church. If kids need schools, Christians need church. And we need to find ways appropriately timed and more to get into that together.
Yeah. Once I heard you talk about this at one of our CPLF gatherings, the idea of a temporarily deficient ecclesiology, I've just been looking for moments in sermons and in announcements and just continuing to seed and even just watching the language from our online hosts and others, just really making sure that we're reminding people. And it's not just like, hey, here's a sermon on ecclesiology. No, it's these little sound bites here and there. Even this last week, I was like, hey guys, we can't allow what's happening right now to permanently delete one of the core practices of following Jesus, which is to gather together, right? So
I love that. Great way to put it. Yep.
And yeah, because it really is a blip. I mean, it's significant, right? What's we're going through right now, but it really is a blimp in the timeline of eternity. So ecclesiology, definitely. Yeah, if you aren't teaching on it and you aren't addressing it, haven't been, definitely we do need to be addressing that this next year. But what are some other theological issues that we need to be aware of?
I think I would put together the idea of we've got to talk about the kingdom of God and soteriology. Let me kind of explain.
Yeah.
I'm an evangelical. You're from an evangelical tradition, Christian Missionary Alliance for you, right? Yeah. Historically, yeah. Background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, I'm Southern Baptist. So the very clear soteriological positions, in other words, women and men are dead in their trespasses and sins, need to receive by grace and through faith the good news of the gospel. And then the kingdom of God is a doctrine that we believe and value. Clearly, their kingdom is here and among us. But historically, the kingdom of God theology has been more adopted and promoted by those in mainline traditions, right? Mm-hmm. I came to Christ in the charismatic movement of the Episcopal Church. Episcopal Church would be very much talking about the kingdom of God, yeah. And sometimes push against the idea of individual conversion. Mm-hmm. The last presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church actually speaking of it in heretical ways. So, but here's why I say those two things together. Right now, there's a great push for Christians and pastors to be more socially aware, and I'm in favor of that, to be more aware of some of the issues around us and our need to speak up and into them. What I would say is we need to remember that people in the past who discovered social concern, and they often did so around the theology of the kingdom of God, that we can make the world more like Jesus would have it to be, right? We'd help to usher in the kingdom or be kingdom instruments or, join Jesus where he is working and, seek to alleviate pain and suffering and hurt, all of which, I mean, I don't want to just say casually I agree with, but I literally have written books on, and is true and essential, and evangelicals need to discover a robust understanding of the kingdom of God that will cause them to live as kingdom citizens in the world, representing Jesus and his kingdom in the world.
Yeah.
The challenge is historically when Christians discover that, they forget or de-emphasize what we would call gospel soteriology, the idea of salvation, soteriology being the salvation, study of salvation. So if that's the case, then for us, we've got to recognize it, that in the past, people have actually lost that focus. So I think ultimately a greater study of the doctrines of salvation, soteriology. What does it mean that Jesus was our substitute? What does it mean that his blood was shed for our sin? What does it mean that that he is the propitiation for our sins? What do these things mean? So I think that as Christians have rightly discovered the kingdom of God, and thank God for, or again, our evangelicals have discovered it maybe anew, let's not at the same time de-emphasize our gospel of the cross. So I think we can simultaneously celebrate, preach, and teach a gospel of the kingdom, which is going to be one that causes us to live out the gospel implications, care for the poor, the hurting, the sick, those without, and that idea of gospel proclamation, where Jesus, the message of Jesus' work on the cross as an historical event in time, once for all, that changes everything that we call women and men to, yeah. is central to our teaching and preaching as well. So kingdom of God and soteriology, two doctrines I think we're going to need in ample and growing measure in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, I love that, especially as we continue to see pluralism and relativism increase and this notion of, okay, well, all paths and all truths are valid and all that, for us as a church to continue to be preaching. No, actually, this is what it means to be saved and the exclusivity of Christ. And yeah, I mean, that's just going to be so important and will likely cause the church to be marginalized. But when you look at the history of the church, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I would say there's definitely that piece. And on the kingdom side, Ed, it's I really do appreciate you sharing that. For those who know my church background, I've been a part of smaller established churches, church plants, mid-sized church, smaller mid-sized church plants, mid-sized church plants, and all that. And right now I'm in pretty much a mega church, and it's interesting, a mega church that's really followed this attractional kind of seeker-sensitive model in the past couple decades. And what was interesting is even just last week at the time of this recording, as I've been just digging into my time with God, It was interesting how God, I really did sense God, you know, lead me to be like, hey, you need to work on kingdom culture. You know, I know my default is strategies. My default is, hey, read this or do that. And, you know, how to do best workplace cultures and all that stuff. And that's not bad. But it was interesting how, as I've just been leaning into God in my time with him, it's just, I've really been sensing this, you know, him saying, no, you got to focus on the kingdom. You got to focus on the kingdom, 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 kingdom. So, you know, Ed, as we come to the end of this podcast, I'm just so appreciative of the way that you just continue to lift our eyes up in the midst of all the cultural issues that we've addressed in the last two episodes, to really be focusing in on this year on ecclesiology, the kingdom, and soteriology. So thanks again for listening in, and we will continue this mini series as we talk about.
Let me interrupt for one second. Because I want to add one thing before you close it out and just edit this part out. Yeah. I just think at the end of the day, Daniel, that the thing that we believe the church is the hope of the world, in that the church is the bearer of the gospel. So it's not our church doing good deeds. It's, though it's going to include that, it's the fact that the church is the bearer of the gospel. So we're going to do gospel proclamation, sharing the good news of the gospel, and gospel demonstration with our good deeds, making a difference for ultimately the work of the kingdom. So I think if we can hold those two things together, and I think we can, and I think the biblical New Testament church did, I think there have been times and periods where the church has, I think that's ultimately what the world's going to need now. And so, you know, this is why I love talking to church planners, Daniel. We're talking to church planners because we know that God has chosen the church to make known his manifold wisdom in the world. So for those of you planting churches, keep showing and sharing the love of Jesus and make a difference.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.